Pack Dynamite. You ain't got to worry about Gloria. She gonna be safe up in here. I've been keeping the girls up on their kung fu like you told me to. Now they find her up in here, we will fricassee they hunky asses. Chakal!
Dynamite, are you sure about this? Maybe we should just call the police.
No, mama. You could bet your sweet ass and half a titty whoever put that hit out on you already got the cops in their back pocket. You be cool, mama. Be here, keep you tight and out of sight. I'ma shake the tree from the roots and rake up the fruits. Rip it up out the ground, find out what's going down. Don't worry about tomorrow, mama, cause tonight...
Dynamite's gonna make everything all right.
Euphoria, shut the fuck up. I know that was you. I ain't even got a look. I should send your ass back to Crenshaw Pete with his hot-ass coat hangers, bitch. Would you like that?
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Bitch, are you for real?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. I'm all out of bubblegum.
He think he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
If you don't get me my money tonight, I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out on the horse, boy.
Yeah, Will.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action. And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. And 23 of them are already gone.
About a friend I've had. He's a mean motherfucker and he's super bad. So grab onto your seats and hang on tight while I tell you a story about Black Dynamite. Wherever he walks, he's withered the grass. King Kong steps aside when his bad.
He's doing what he do. He's feeling like he feel. He's killing who we want to. So you know that that is real. Mama always told me every day like this. Better watch them politicians trying to sweep your niggas' debts.
And she told.
Now recording.
How do I start this? Like, hey, you jive suckers. I don't know. I'm not black, so
no.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
but
not at all.
I'm whitey, unfortunately. I mean, yeah. Anyway, welcome to Movie So Bad They're Good Midnight Core Classics at Camp. Today we're doing a fucking awesome movie. It's Black Dynamite, of course, a parody of the old 70s blaxploitation movies, which I if you go back a few months, me and my good friend Ian Hannibal, the other Ian, we went over a lot of blaxploitation movies. He's right here. What's up, Ian?
Oh, what's going on, Ian?
Yeah, so you and I we've gone over like the you know, like all the classics, the Dolomites, the Superflies, the Max, the Blackulas, what have you. And
don't forget the Black Dragon, which I think had a big influence on this one as well.
I don't know if that movie exists.
The Black Dragon?
Yeah, we definitely didn't cover that.
Didn't we?
Uh-uh.
With Ron Van Cleef? Okay, if you've never seen it, I guess, well, check out The Black Dragon, Ron Van Cleef. Maybe we didn't cover it, but it's a good movie.
Well, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about its influence. Because I've seen all the other movies that this movie has been an have influenced this movie. And when you were watching a movie, like like a lot of the movies that we have covered, really, did they like stick out to you?
There's definitely a lot of blaxploitation tropes that are expounded upon in Black Dynamite. You know, they hit them hard.
But did you catch the actual references?
You got Foxy Brown in there too. You can't forget about that.
Yeah. We'll go over all the references. I also have with me Ryan's in the house.
Hey, it's me.
What up? This is our second time reviewing this movie together.
I kind of wanted to bounce off the idea in the previous podcast. You and I had watched and reviewed over some other blaxploitation films as well. Mm-hmm. Whether if it was, Human Tornado, Dolomite, Black Samurai, and mm-hmm. P.D. Wheatstraw.
Definitely others. Foxy Brown and Coffee, like Ian said. You got Superfly, like I said. You got the you mentioned Black Samurai starring Jim Kelly, of course. Yeah, that, but more than that is his
Black Belt Jones.
Black Belt Jones, exactly. Let's get into it.
Dynamite. He's super cool and he know kung fu. Drives a $5,000 car and wears a $100 suit.
You're so righteous.
This is also true.
And when it comes to the ladies, he's out of sight.
Let me guess. You one of these brothers think you can get by on a wink and a smile, huh? What about the smile?
I am smiling.
Black Dynamite.
Never in the history of the game has there been such devastation.
The CIA needs Black Dynamite now more than ever.
We need you, Black Dynamite, now more than ever.
I thought I told you honkies from the CIA that Black Dynamite was out of the game.
And he's better than Sheriff Superfly and the Mac put together. But when the mob kills his brother,
your death will not go unavenged.
And put the dope on the street.
It's my nephew Bucky. He OD'd.
He's back in the game and he's playing for keeps.
Dynamite! Dynamite!
I am declaring war on anybody who sells drugs in our community.
But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.
He killed my best dealer. I want him dead now.
So if you crave satisfaction, then dig this action. Guaranteed to put your ass in traction. Black, black, stack, attack, and mack. Backtrack, slapjack, bootblack, flashback, ramsack, jam pack, and steel coming back.
You see where I'm coming from, you giant mother...
Black Dynamite, starring all-star running back Ferrante Jones, fashion model Tambula Takar, William P. Michelson, Ronnie Sinatra, Little Tiny Tibbs, Junebug, Bo Willie Peters, and me. That bad Bull Hunt. Black Dynamite! Feel the cinema phonic quadro vision. Rated R.
Yes, so... Yeah, man, this movie, it's a blast. Ryan, what was the first time you seen this movie?
So the first time I saw this movie, I believe I was still... I just moved to Austin in 2018, and I had the weekend to myself, and I believe it was you who suggested I watch Black Dynamite.
Oh, okay.
So I went ahead and took the liberty to do so. And I feel like every time I watch this movie, I fall in love with it all over again.
Dude, it's so... Isn't it, like, one of the best comedies? Like, forget that it's a parody. But just the fact of a comedy. Isn't it like one of the funniest movies you've ever seen?
It most definitely is.
Hell yeah.
I don't think the only other parody movie I can think of that I can enjoy just as much is Keenan Ivory Wayans' I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Yeah. That, I like this one a little bit better. But yeah.
It's definitely better.
I'm Gonna Get You Sucker is definitely the first parody of the blaxploitation genre. That's definitely a big one.
But I mean, Keenan Ivory Wayans, as good of an action star he can portray, he nowhere comes close to Michael Jai White, Spawn himself, Mr. Blood and Bone. You know what I'm talking about? This dude is a real, legit martial artist.
I totally 100% agree with Ian on that one.
With which one?
With what he just said.
Motherfucker, the one who made the statement. Listen up.
Absolutely. And so, Ian, you just watched Black Dynamite for the first time today.
Yeah, it was the first time I've seen it. After seeing like every movie that inspired it, and it really came across as a love letter to the entire genre of blaxploitation. You know, there were so many small references, and each character seemed to represent a specific person from those movies. You know, like you got a.
Yeah.
What was his name? Bullhorn?
Yeah.
That's obviously Dolomite. He's saying everything in rhyme. You got Michael Jai White beating up everybody in the pool hall.
Not only does he talk in rhyme, but he talks just like him. Like, he yells like this.
Oh, yeah. And not just that. The greatest juxtaposition of what the martial arts choreography was like back then versus what Michael Jai White is capable of as a black belt. And a legit martial artist. I mean, you know, he beats the shit out of
really good. Yeah.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of everybody in that pool hall scene, and there's one guy left, and Bullhorn comes out and throws the weakest little straight left front kick that barely gets above the waistline
what the fuck was that kick?
It made
and just like does this like weird kick thing, and his arms are out. But
there was a take before that, obviously, where he kicked higher, and they were like, no, that's too impressive. We need to get a little lower, a little more lackadaisical. But that was the first real heavy laugh out loud moment for me was that.
Yeah. And when you watch Dolomite, like, he kicks like that too. Like, yeah, like Dolomite himself was like really terrible. Like his fight scenes are like Bullhorn, like that.
I think for this movie, the best cameo and love letter to one of the greatest cameos in blaxploitation movies is the boom mic.
Yeah. Ryan's favorite reoccurring character in these movies. Yeah. Yeah, that was so great. Yeah, he's talking to not Queen Bee, but Honey Bee, which another Dolomite reference. And the boom mic just like starts like going to the screen, and like you can hear it like wrestling against his afro, and he's like looking up. That was so good. Which again, in Dolomite, the boom mic makes many appearances.
Oh, there was, just the editing faux pas that they recreate. Like when he's talking to the CIA guy and he agrees to join him again, and it says good, but it cuts to him too quick. So it was a voiceover that said good, but then it shows his mouth not moving when he says the word good.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's very subtle shit, dude. I mean, you could tell it's like, that. Somebody edited it with love and care.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. All right, so that's the thing I want to get into. That's a big point. So, if you know me, you know that I love movies that are so bad that they're good. They're made so poorly that it's hilarious and you enjoy laughing at it, making fun of it. Dolomite being a great example. Dolomite's probably one of the first of those movies, along with Well, actually, a lot of blaxploitations, like Black Samurai that Ryan mentioned. Now,
Was the Mac considered the first?
The Mac isn't really So Bad It's Good.
I'm talking about blaxploitation. Oh, you're talking about So Bad It's Good. Okay.
I'm going on another point. And that point being is that I love those movies. I love to make fun of them. They're fun. What I don't like is the movies that are bad on purpose. Your Sharknadoes, there's kind of like a lot of those. Velocipaster, not really a big fan. But I really fucking love Black Dynamite, which is bad on purpose. What do you guys think about that? What sets Black Dynamite different from like Sharknado and Velocipaster? Like what makes Black Dynamite so good and those movies are just kind of like shitty?
It's self-aware and it doesn't take itself too serious.
So do you think that like Velocipaster? Because that movie is very self-aware, and
the thing about Velocipaster movie and like the Sharknado and all that, it deals with budget. Go ahead, Ian. Go ahead.
I was gonna say you said because they don't take themselves too seriously. I think it's the exact opposite. I think Michael Jai White took this very seriously. When asked in an interview with Vlad TV in 2018, what is best movie that he ever made was, or that he was ever acted in, he said Black Dynamite because it was something.
Dude, saw that video on YouTube today.
yeah, so he poured his entire heart and soul into that role because he created the character.
Yeah, he ripped the script while like trying to. I think he was like trying to come up with something else, and then
I think Ian makes a really good point with that. And I think I was tiptoeing along the lines of, I feel like everybody was having fun with this movie.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because like they all grew up watching the movies that they're spoofing. And there's a lot of love for these movies.
We have not talked about the all-star ensemble cast either. There's a lot of great, great actors that appear in this movie. Tommy Davidson, of course, playing Cream Corn.
Which I loved in growing up watching and living color.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and his stand-up comedy was out of this world. Mo Money, Mo Problems. Ever seen it?
He was in a parody of Pulp Fiction called Pump Friction. And which he played Jules, but he did so not as Samuel Jackson, but as what's his name from the Rat Pack?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, he was playing Sammy Davis Jr. as Jules.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I even liked him in the movie with Jamie Foxx called Booty Call.
Oh yeah, Booty Call is good. I like Booty Call.
So yeah, he definitely killed that role. I love how during the pimp scene where all the pimps are talking, which is a Mac reference, then he comes out and he meets Cream Corn. Did you notice that his hair was his hat?
Yeah.
Ian, did you notice that?
No, I didn't. I didn't catch that. His hair, was it a toupee? Like, what do you mean?
His hair. He had a perm, and it was shaped as a hat, like a top hat, kind of. So, like, if you look, he's wearing a hat, but if you look at his hat, it's not his hat. It's his hair.
That's wild. No, I missed that.
Yeah, go back and watch that. It's like. It might be the funniest part. I mean, there's so many funny parts, but
I do feel like going back and watching the movie like for the fourth time I'm still picking up things that I missed the first three times.
Yeah, that's there's so like, many things in this. Yeah,
I like fell on the ground laughing at the scene where the henchmen come out of the car shooting at Black Dynamite. And when Dynamite shoots back, the guy tries to, while he's sitting in the car, tries to close the door to drive off, but he gets stuck. And then it cuts to him driving off, and I'm just like, son of a bitch, how did I miss that?
Which is, like, real, you know, like, that they didn't plan for that. That just, like, happened.
Dude, are you sure about that? I mean, that seems like a purposely autistic choice.
I listened to the director's commentary, and I said that, yeah, that was real.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Hey, what about from Reno 911, Cedric Yarbrough, and his role is Chocolate Giga.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see him there, you know?
Oh, yeah, that whole pimp thing. Yeah, lots of cameos in the pimp session, because you got Arsenio Hall as the lead pimp.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember his name, but like the guy, the one guy who's like, who are you supposed to be? Who kind of looks like Dave Chappelle. That was
is that dude from
not that guy. No.
I know who you're talking about. He's in a lot of movies.
Fargo season 2.
He's in Life with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, the old guy, Ode something or other. What's his name? Oh,
I'm looking it up right now.
Oba Buba Kunde.
You're both really far off and really close at the same time.
No, somehow. That's the dude that was in Life that was in this too.
He's a really awesome actor.
Wait, are we talking about the scene where he's like, who the hell are you supposed to be? And Cedric Yarbrough goes, that's Black Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah, the guy is like, I'm gonna do what I wanna do.
No, one of the best lines before that, he's like, what did he say? He says, Dynamite declaring war on everyone who's selling drugs in the community. And he goes, the Black Dynamite, I sell drugs in the community.
Yeah, yeah, that's the classic line. I guess, man, we're all over the place on this. Let's talk about some of the best dialogue, because the script is amazing. Like, written, by the way, by Michael Jai White. He was great with the dialogue. That whole scene was great. Like, everything that Chocolate Giddyup says is great. It's like, I'm spending more bail money than I'm getting tail money.
Yeah, I wrote that one down. That was one of the, I made like a page of notes. That was one thing I wrote down. That's funny. Tail money.
Yeah.
Or how nonchalant one of the pimps is like, well, it looks like I'm just going to have to go back to selling heroin.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the kids that got hooked on drugs? Like, plot line.
That,
to the kids, the orphans.
Yeah, and orphans don't have parents. I used to be an orphan.
Yeah. Some wild plot points. Yeah.
Let's go back to the dialogue later. Let's talk about all the references that they make for the blaxploitation movies. So that one right there, Ian, I know you probably caught that reference. Like, what movie are they referencing in that scene with the orphans on drugs and shit? Or not necessarily orphans, but children on drugs.
Was that Foxy Brown or something?
Or Coffee, actually.
Coffee. Yeah, well, okay. Especially the scene where she's giving him a tour of the neighborhood and like showing him around, and like, these kids are all on drugs, and giving him the spiel, and she's like politically active, and it's almost shot for shot from Coffee.
Yeah, and she's going up against like the crooked politician and shit. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. But do you want to pick him up? You want to What's name that? Another? Would you like to name another reference that this movie makes that you got?
Not so much a specific reference because it's such a classic trope. But when they come into the club and there's a funk band playing, and it almost becomes like a little 15-second music video, right? And they come into the club. It was just a scene that's been in the Mac, that's been in Dolomite.
That was very much the Mac. And did you catch Richard Pryor?
He was the announcer. It looked like Richard Pryor. I was like, wait.
It was Richard Pryor.
All right. Uncredited, huh?
Well, because, they didn't get him because he hadn't died yet by the time they made this movie. But he was, there was no way he could have done that because of, his condition. But that footage was from another movie.
Oh, okay. I wonder how much of that, because I know, okay, so the original idea came to Michael Jai White when he was on set one day, and the first thing he thought of was how he would look, and then the nunchucks fight scene with Richard Nixon. That was like the nucleus of the whole movie.
Michael Jai White really shows his talents of martial arts in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's completely outstanding.
I mean, it's not a Michael Jai White movie without him just like doing all the martial arts that he can do.
Dude, even the scene where he's with his sparring partners is so laugh out loud.
Oh, well, the yeah, where he just beats the shit out of all those guys. Yeah. And we don't even know what's going on. Like he just says, like, I'm gonna find Jimmy's killer. If I'm gonna I'm gonna kill everybody in my way. And then it shows him just fighting all these guys, and you thinking that they're in his way. And then he's like, I'll see y'all tomorrow. So he just pays these guys.
Every time I watch that opening scene with Jimmy, I treat it as the first time I saw it.
Okay, yeah, that. Now, when we covered this movie in our old podcast, Ryan, you mentioned that you really brought up the fact that he sounds like a Shakespearean actor.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you know what they're referencing with that? What that's a reference to?
If I had to really guess,
is it Blackula?
Yeah, I was gonna say the actor. Was it James Marshall?
Yeah, Blackula, and also Superfly too. Both those movies used thespian actors.
Whoa, dude, that's progressive. There was thespian.
Yeah, thespian.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
So Superfly and Blackula, he's like, I need to get back to the streets where I come from, sucker.
I'm sorry, I think I got his name wrong. Isn't his name William Marshall?
I think so. It's Marshall for sure.
Or we can just call him the King of Cartoons.
Hey, Kiwi, rest in peace.
Okay. So, I'll go and name a reference. And that is, when Black Dynamite chases Cream Corn down the alley, it's like a 10-minute long, chasing, and they're, jumping over fences and climbing buildings and chasing shit. That's from Superfly. Because there's a 20-minute long chase scene in that movie that's just like that one. Did you catch that?
Yeah, right at the very beginning of Superfly, right? They got that really long chase scene? Yeah. No, and it's funny because apparently that's the first thing that Michael Jai White told Tommy Davidson to try to convince him to be in the movie. He was like, I got this mental image. It's me chasing you down the street. You got a cape on and curlers in your hair. And I'm just chasing. And that was it. That was the idea.
It's not a cape. It's like his bib from fucking Salon.
Well, either way, it ended up in the trailer, and it got this whole movie funded from that one scene, you know? Mixed in, yeah. They took that scene, they mixed it in with a bunch of pre-recorded, or I guess you could say clips from old movies, and they shopped that around.
Yeah. Ryan, you haven't seen Superfly, have you?
I've seen it once a long time ago. It's one of those things I have to rewatch it.
You have to rewatch it. You really do. It's so good.
And if you don't rewatch it, just listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack is fucking phenomenal. Which, another reference that Black Dynamite makes is the soundtrack where, like, the soundtrack, like, narrates the scene that's happening. Because Superfly, there's a song called Freddy's Dead, and it's like, Freddy's dead! And then this one, it's like, somebody broke into Jimmy's apartment. Somebody broke into Jimmy's apartment.
All the music and themes in this movie was pretty excellent. Even the Anaconda malt liquor from the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, Anaconda malt liquor gives you... Ooh.
Hey,
okay, so when are we going to talk about that? When are we going to talk about that huge twist?
We'll talk about it.
Hey, is that Anaconda malt liquor the only malt liquor to be sanctioned by the United States government?
And when the pop, or when the cap pops, the panties drop.
I gotta bounce out real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, yeah, anyway, did you catch any other references, Ryan?
I mean, other than the fact of, like, with the crooked politicians, like, from Dolomite, I got a lot of cop vibes with Shaft. It's just a huge ensemble of, like, all these black exploitation actors, and you know, it made me think of, like I said, Black Belt Jones, Black Samurai. It's a very, very, I think it's a well choreographed, like, parody movie of all the things that we love and appreciate about black exploitation movies.
Yeah.
Especially with Honey Bee, and she's like, Dolomite, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah, that's definitely from Dolomite.
Definitely from Dolomite.
Oh man, it was like, yeah, she's got the tear and everything. Oh, Dolomite, I'm so happy. yeah, that was great. Let's see.
I could definitely say I was never bored with this movie.
No, not at all. There was a joke like every 30 seconds. There was never a dry spot. And, let's see.
When I was thinking about the scene where, when everything goes to shit and it shows all the women kung fu fighting and they're all just randomly throwing chops at people.
Yeah, that's Dolomite for sure.
Where some of them knew some actual martial arts, but they're all just throwing knife hand chops at people.
Yeah, she's just like chopping the air while like running around. Yeah. Yeah, the all girl kung fu army. Yeah, that's Dolomite. Man, the references are just, like, all over the place. It's crazy. Okay, it looks like Ian's back.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Just got a phone call from a family member. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't an emergency.
Okay, so you brought it up. So, Ian, what were your thoughts, since you just watched this today, when... There's the whole, like, Anaconda twist that you were talking about, where It's like you're talking about fucking butter on waffles melting in your mouth to the whole thing that follows after.
Oh, well, as a fan of, you know, Greek and Roman mythology, I felt like that, you know, I really enjoyed that, well, if this, then this, then also this, but check this, but what does that mean? It also means this, and put it backwards, and now what does that spell? Drop the S? You know, that, I mean, that kind of, like, Rube Goldberg device method of solving a problem is a big favorite of mine as a Leslie Nielsen fan in general, and I think it was that level of absurdity. And the way that it ended up and the payoff at the very end of where they got to was not a letdown at all. It was totally worth it. It was not like a wah wah, that's all it is. It was like, oh, they're shrinking our dicks. Like, it was really heavy. You know?
I love the whole Aries and all that. Like, yeah, like smart stuff that like that it's just common knowledge for these guys who like ordinarily would never know this shit.
And we all know what year the astrological system was founded. 385 BC. They all say it at the same time.
Yeah. Which is the and then it all like makes sense. It's like, which is the area code to oh my god, the area code to Kansas.
Kansas. Which that was a complete cycle. It didn't get them any information. It just said, it just like Kansas, code Kansas. It just got back to Kansas. Didn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense at all, because all of this, like, all he heard was melt in your mouth, and then he figured the entire thing out.
Wait, say that again.
Did you guys notice before they started kicking into that where cream corn was trying to get service, and they're just like, all we have is chicken. He's like, so what, all I'm gonna eat is what, chicken and waffles? And the dude's just like, I got it. And he just
the guy who originally had a business selling donuts and chili.
It's like yeah, one I... it's like one person dies and he's just like, I need to get out of the donuts and chili business.
Yo, what's her name though? What's the main actress? She's the coffee character or the Foxy Brown character?
Pam Grier.
No, the character's name in this movie in Black Dynamite.
Oh, her name.
It's like Candy something, right? What?
No, it's not. But I'm looking it up right now.
Well, either way, She comes up to the counter at that shop, and she asks for hot sauce for her donut. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
It's like, man, they're pushing it, dude. She's funny though.
But I can't remember her name. Back to that one scene though. I like how Cream Corn's order was like, I want two sausage links, split down the middle twice, and then smush fry it. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, yeah, this is like, ridiculous order.
I want two sausage links with two sausage patties, but the sausage split down the middle. Twice. I think he's like, he want twice. I think he says something about like a fried bologna. But it was just like softly fried on both sides. It was just a crazy ass order.
But yeah, when they like, at what point did y'all catch the Anaconda Malt Liquor gives you a little dick? Because like they're doing the Anaconda Malt Liquor gives you what? Ooh! And who else is famous for Little Richard? And he's like, okay, so Anaconda Malt Liquor gives you Little Richard. And then, like, right there, I was like, oh, shit. And then, what is another name for Richard? And everybody just, like, looks down, and they're like, oh, no, Gunsmoke!
And they go, and they zoom in on it like three or four times.
Oh, dude, that that was so uncomfortable. It's like he has tiny dick, and it's like, and he's just like all like, just like passed out. You're like, ah.
I did like the zooming, like the constant zooming, especially with the callback from the beginning of the movie. Where he's just like, oh no, you know whose brother this is.
Oh yeah.
The streets are gonna run with blood, and he's gonna be out there, and he's gonna be coming.
Yeah, that was so good.
Oh God, it's just like,
but,
I'm in tears right now.
I have a piece of information that will be very disturbing for the both of y'all and the listeners. Are you ready to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. So, Gunsmoke's little dick that they show. Would you like to know what that's made out of? What, like, the material they use to create his little dick?
Vienna sausage?
No. Too big.
Okay. Don't know. What is
it? Do you have a guess, Ryan?
It looked like an olive that was painted brown.
Nope. It is a pacifier. Baby's pacifier.
Okay. Fair.
So next time you put a pacifier in a baby's mouth, just know that they're sucking Gunsmoke's dick.
Oh. Oh boy.
Are they orphans or?
I mean, of course.
That makes it even worse, you know?
Just kind of makes you want to shake the smack out of them.
We've tried that. Nothing works. I love that. Where he's just shaking the kid. And it's like, I'll shake this smack right out of your little body. It's just like, we've tried that. Nothing works.
That's funny.
Ryan, what, other than what we already mentioned, what's your favorite scene?
You know, for a guilty pleasure, I can't help but like die laughing at the scene where so they regroup, where he brings not Pam Grier to the safe house, and they're just like, don't worry, Black Dynamite, we'll take good care of her. And then he's just like, all right. And then he goes in this whole like,
yeah,
like, righteous spiel.
I'm downtown to see what's going down.
Exactly. Exactly where I'm going with that.
Don't worry, mama, because tonight, and this, yeah, then the other girl just walks in and she's like, Dynamite's gonna make everything all right. Oh, you shut the fuck up. I know that was you. I didn't have to look. I should send your ass back to Crenshaw Pete with his hot ass toe hangers, bitch. Would you like that?
It's the look on his face that he's got where he just whacks out for a minute.
It's just and a great murder in his face, yeah.
Or the scene where it's, to me, it's like it.
Wait, hold on, Ryan. Let's stay on that for a minute. Do y'all know what he means by I should send you back to Crenshaw Pete with his hot ass co-hangers?
No,
I feel like I should know that.
I feel like you're about to tell us.
Yeah, also disturbing. You use for like. If you want to get, like, a street abortion, you heat up a coat hanger and, like, shove it in there. So that's what he's referring to. That Crenshaw Pete, this other pimp in town, just, like, does, like, abortions like that.
Nah, see, I'm not cheap. When I pay for him, I get him done professionally, okay?
Yeah, that's not Crenshaw Pete's way.
That's fair.
I got a frown. I frown upon that as a practice, and I hope everybody gets it done safe if you're getting it done.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that scene and the scene where when O'Leary shows up and they start talking about Nam.
Oh yeah, that was so good.
And Black Dynamite just goes into this whole spiel about his time in Nam, but then he starts talking about the little Chinese kid with his little Chinese legs blown off. And I'm sitting there going, Chinese?
And Nam? And he says it so many times too. He was like, he says it like 50 times.
Yeah, that's one part that didn't age as well. But I guess it was there ever another blaxploitation film where they made fun of Asian people? Can't remember.
No, not really. I don't think that was a reference. But it's like, but that's just a reference to the overall ignorance of people around that time, is that like all Asian people are Chinese, basically. You know, right. So that's why I kept saying Chinese, is because like people in that time like didn't give a fuck of what country. Like they're in Vietnam, but he's Chinese. They're like,
oh no, I laughed. I was funny part.
But yeah, he's like, yeah.
I mean, but there's also a lot of movies that are around that time period. If you go from even movies like Enter the Dragon, or even go as far as Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry movies, there's a lot of derogatory, racist jibber jabber.
You drawing colors from other movies in the air rather than specifically from the blaxploitation genre.
Yeah, just 70s movies in general. I love that quote. He's like, he looked up at me with his little Chinese eyes. And it was like, the explosion, blew his little Chinese legs clean off. And he was like bleeding from his little Chinese head down to his
Chinese knees.
He was face down in the mud. He looked up at me with his Chinese eyes, which right there makes no sense. And he said one word, "Kumsao," or some weird cartoon shit.
but I understood what he said. It was a wild scene.
Why?
It was a wild. It was a wild scene. It sounds even wilder with you just like recounting it. Somehow it's like the context and nuance is lost.
I'm like a total asshole right now. The quote that he said, like he actually did say something in Chinese. Where it was like, "Call us out," or whatever. That means you're full of shit.
Okay.
Doing the old eye in the windowsill trick.
Yeah, that dude.
Save my ass back in Nam.
Yeah. And then that lyric comes back where he is like, he just like pretends to get shot and it just confuses him, which he shoots them and he's like, "Oh, the birthday candle trick from Nam."
Wild.
Let's see. What's another good scene? Ian, what's another good scene?
I like when he's I forget the direct context, but it's kind of he's expressing good feelings with people. He's with his friends and his close associates, and he says something like a rhyme, and this one lady pops up out of nowhere and completes the rhyme, and then he just gets like super unnecessarily mad at
her. Oh, we mentioned that. We said that like 5 minutes ago.
I was probably
with the Kohaners. Crenshaw Peden's Kohaners.
Oh, okay. I only heard the response. I didn't hear. Okay, yeah, that's what he said. Okay.
Yeah. Well, saying, "Gloria, shut the fuck up. I know that was you. I didn't even have to look."
That stands out. I also have the memory of a goldfish, apparently.
You can talk about the one where he meets those black militants for the first time.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That was great because like He walks in, and the guy says, "Milton," turns around startled. Which is, like, supposed to be in the script. Like, he's supposed to turn around startled, but he just said it.
Who's in charge? Sarcastically.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's why he said sarcastically. I heard that. I didn't get that. It was supposed to be stage direction, like, spoken out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a couple of watches to figure that out. But yeah, it was like, I mean, it sounds like something sarcastic to say. Like, sarcastically, I'm in charge. But
yeah, it took a second. Because obviously he's not in charge. You know what I mean? Because an older guy comes out who isn't.
And then fucking, like, he calls him his Uncle Tom, and they're just like, I'm more militant than all of you combined, and blacker than Ace of Spades. And like, well, when you're over there, like, doing march rallies, I'll be killing every drug runner on the streets. So when your so-called revolution happens, call me, and I'll be right up there in the front of the line, showing you how it's done. But until then, you need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking. And the guy just, like, steps up to him. He's like,
I'm sorry.
Dude, yeah. I've never seen somebody just, like, apologize like that in a movie before, and it's amazing.
And waits until he turns around to say, I almost fucked him up.
But just that apology was so good.
Yeah, it was very well done, man. There's a lot of great humor scenes in this movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think maybe the funniest to me was he's walking around the neighborhood, and the two little girls are playing the jump rope.
Yeah.
and she they introduce themselves, and he's Black Dynamite. They go, "My mom says my daddy's Black Dynamite," and then the other girl says, "That's what my mom says too." He goes, "What's up, little girls? A lot of cats have that name." they just never reference it again.
Yeah, and she goes on to the next thing, and we're like, they're in the park, and she's like trying to like frolic and just like play around, and he's just like having none of it.
Yeah, man.
It's just like, what the fuck is this? And then like he tries to fuck her later. She's like, "Oh no, you can't have any of this cookie because this cookie's gonna kill you." He's like, "Yeah, shut up."
No.
He says,
"No." He says, "You can, you can go, or you can."
He says, like, "You can hit the sheets, or you can hit the streets." And it doesn't make me know. Never mind. And it's like, "You can go, or you can come," and then like. And then it was on from there. But, like, if any of us tried that, like, no way. Like, that would not work.
I would like to think I can have some sweet, sweet lovemaking while the zodiac signs are passing through the universe.
Yeah, a different position for each month you could possibly be born.
I've seen that on a poster once. Like, I have actually seen that on a poster once, where it showed like all the different sexual positions for each sign.
You should make one like a perverted advent calendar. You pop.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, so it's Aquarius. You know what that means? We get to do triple cowgirl.
Triple cowgirl. What is triple cowgirl?
Oh, dude, it's a lot. It's a lot of legs. It's a lot of. You gotta be flexible. I'll say that.
So, and then they go to Kung Fu Island. That was a good scene. Where, like, the same guy who is. Who apologized for talking shit earlier is like, "Man, after this, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna leave the revolution, I'm gonna start a family." And he, like, gets killed, like, immediately.
Yeah, they all start dropping flies.
Yeah, but of course it's the guy who talks about, like, having a family and shit.
And he says it like way, he's like four or five sentences about it, and they're just walking and they hold it, and then yeah, he gets hit in the spear, and then Black Dynamite goes, who saw that coming? I mean, where'd that come from? It's self-referential in a lot of ways, but nah, man, I think it was a good shout out, man. I think it was a good shout out at this style of movie because it doesn't get done. It hasn't been done before or since. I mean, it has been.
No, it has a couple of times. Like, there's. I think it was Ryan who mentioned that. I'm going to get it in a second. And then there's also Undercover Brother. Which is sequel. Yeah, and the sequel, Undercover Brother 2, had Michael J. White in that one as well.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I think Undercover Brother is definitely I was thinking about this era. But there hasn't been one done since, like, Snakes on a Plane or something. I don't know.
There was another scene on Kung Fu Island that I missed the first three times. And it's when Dr. Wu and one of his henchmen run to the lab, and Dr. Wu's trying to get his shit, and he looks at the guy and goes, "Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, go keep an eye on Black Dynamite."
Because the dude was like all up in his shit. He just looks at him, he's just like, "What the fuck are you still doing here?"
Yeah. He tells him to go keep an eye on him. So then, like, Black Dynamite, like, squeezes the guy's eyes out, and he's like, "Do you see where I'm coming from, you giant-ass motherfucker?" He throws his eyes at him. He's like, "You told him to keep an eye on me." And then out of nowhere, his boomerang knife, like, comes through the window and cuts his arm off. He's like, "I threw that shit before I came in the room."
Yeah, there was definitely an emotional peak in that scene. You could tell they were climax, you know.
The movie really kind of, like, gets weird around that time.
It starts to go off the rails, especially with the death of Bullhorn.
Right.
And
are you talking about when he's he's jumping out of the airplane and he kills like six people before he lands? It's a helicopter. And the helicopter blows up.
That's Cream Corn.
Cream Corn. Oh yeah, that's how Cream Corn dies. How'd Bullhorn die?
He got his head cut off with the boomerang.
Because Dr. Wu, I think he throws it out of the room, and then it comes around back into the room and kills Bullhorn.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's like, "Bullhorn, no! At long last, a friendship, something of, like, united to like, against the man, like, has been severed by Kung Fu treachery."
Yeah. So this movie has a lot of really good lines. We've just repeated, like, I mean, we probably just read like a quarter of the actual line.
Yeah, it's so quotable. Also, my last quote is at the very end of the movie, after he pimp slaps the first lady into the china cabinet when she tries to shoot him, who is played by Nicole Sullivan from MTV. He apologizes to her. He's like, "First lady, I'm sorry I pimp slapped you into that china cabinet. That was wrong." And she's like, "But I tried to kill you." And it's like, that is true, but you did not connect. And so therefore, I shouldn't have used such excessive force. So, she's like, "Oh, Black Dynamite, you're so righteous." This is also true.
So, how did I miss the ghost of Abraham Lincoln?
How did you miss it? Yeah. Tell me.
Because it's only like 2.3 seconds, and he does a little kung fu, and he knocks the very gun that kills him. He knocks the Dillinger the Derringer that shot John Wilkes Booth. Or that John Wilkes Booth used to shoot Abraham Lincoln. He does a little, like, Tai Chi, knocks it out of his hands, saves Black Dynamite's life. That scene
just disappears.
Like, they went through so much trouble to include that, and it was less than 3 seconds. And that's probably what lends this movie to its high replay value. Because y'all have mentioned a bunch of shit that I didn't catch. and I just watched it like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, so, you definitely have to watch it a few times for sure.
It's got so much going on. Now the question, it's a lot of surface level. It's very much we just discussed. It's a love letter to the genre. But is there any other deeper subtext to it? Like the blaxploitation movies of the past had, they always had kind of like a social message, right? Is this, do you think that any kind of social message from those movies gets lost in this parody version? Or
no,
do you think that,
it's just some goofy shit.
It is what it is, right? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the government is like paying drug dealers to fucking sell drugs on the streets.
You know, it shares a lot of similar themes with recently released movie Who Cloned Tyrone, or They Cloned Tyrone. I saw that with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that. Yeah, I heard you were telling me that that's kind of like on par with it.
Yeah, that definitely has its own homages to the blaxploitation. But that being so, it's not obviously that, but
I do still need to see that.
As far as the man, like, you know, fucking with Black America, I think, you know, that's a common theme.
Yeah,
Undercover Brother and always
dealing with some sort of white government corruption. It's kind of what they're always trying to drive home with it, whether if it's like the CIA or any other like Illuminati organization that's just trying to keep the black man down.
Yeah.
Trying to shrink their riches. You know.
Far as a guy in a suit is in a donut costume who just happens to pop up with a Uzi when he's shot dead.
Donuts don't wear alligator shoes.
Yeah. That seems so dumb.
So many great lines. Like, I'm not reading any of these. There's so many great lines that are super memorable. Just after one.
Yeah, it's great.
Just after one listen.
There was one I had a little while ago that I forgot about. I'm trying to remember. I mean, what haven't we covered yet?
Can we talk about?
I was going to say the white guy that they were interrogating in the warehouse.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure I've seen him in the very first Dolomite movie.
Yes, he played the crooked cop in Dolomite. Yeah, that was him.
Oh, and also he was, is that the same guy that was in Dumb and Dumb? That, they sang the Mockingbird song to?
Guy, but the main like drug boss was, and he's like, that black son of a bitch killed my best dealer. I want Black Dynamite dead, and I want him dead now. He's like always talking on the phone, there's the scene where like Black Dynamite picks him up on a helicopter and drops him off the cliff, and it's the exact same footage as before when Chicago win.
And he laughs all the way into the next room.
Into the next scene. And he's like watching the room and he's still just laughing. And I love Chicago win too. He's like, he goes to interrogate Chicago win. And he's like, yeah, you get out of here. Get the fuck out of here, you little bitch. Black Dynamite closes the door. And what he means to do is turn the sign from open to closed. But if you notice, what
he
actually does...
He turns it from closed to open.
I thought about that. I don't think that was on the door, because then he closes a lock. I think that maybe their close open sign is on the side of a foyer.
He flips it over and then he like closes the gate.
So like, yeah, the fact that the closed open sign is perpendicular to the face of the gate, usually it would be parallel, right? So that tells me, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I tried to explain
it. Like, there's a certain amount of fuck it in this movie that works for the actual So Bad They're Good movies. So, like...
100%.
Yeah. And then he just, like, kicks them all out of the window. And then, he's, like... He's got his nunchucks. And, like, he throws them away. And somebody, like, tosses them back to him.
Those are some of the best on-screen nunchucks moves that have been.
Bullhorn shows up out of nowhere and does that kick, right? And then Black Dynamite like runs. He's like, "Go get Chicago Wind before he disappear. I'm gonna fight this gorilla eating dude here." And then like they get into a little fight, and he just like slaps the dude, and the guy is like, "What the fuck?"
And then they switch him out. They switch him out for a different actor.
Smaller and like much lighter skin.
That's it. Yeah, there's so many little scenes like that that it's just, you know, they didn't have to do that. That's a love letter. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah. It's fantastic. Like that, it's so funny. And then Chicago Wind is driving and he's like looking back the entire time, just talking shit. He's like, "Yeah, that's why they call me Chicago Wind. Because I leave your ass blowing in the breeze." And then he just like drives off the fucking cliff and his car just explodes for no reason.
But you still see him screaming in the car, even though the car's on fire, exploding.
Yeah, it was great. So that's basically all the quotes, the best scenes. I forgot to mention, so when I first saw this movie... I was in a video store and I just saw it on the rack and I thought it was like just an ordinary just blaxploitation movie because I was looking in the blaxploitation like area, the genre. I was looking for to rent blaxploitation movies. This was at I forgot what it's called. It's a video store in Austin that's got like a bunch of like cult classics and shit. And there's like an entire section for blaxploitation movies. So I was looking under it and I saw Black Dynamite and I was like, "Well, this looks good." I'd never heard of it before. It was like the year after it came out, so like 2010. And so I watched it thinking that it was a blaxploitation movie. And man, I was so surprised. Like, I didn't even, like, recognize the actors. Like, they seemed familiar. Like, Tommy Davidson, I was like, "This guy, like, seems familiar, but, like, it couldn't be, like, Tommy Davidson. That would be weird." And, like, all the other actors, like, I didn't really know who Michael Jai White was at the time. So, like...
Oh, for real?
Yeah, all the way through, I thought this was the craziest blaxploitation movie. I mean, I knew what Spawn was. But
I think that's most people's introduction to either Jai White or most people in our age.
I didn't know it was the guy who played Spawn. So anyway, I was watching the movie all the way to the end until Nicole Sullivan shows up, and I was like, "What the fuck is Nicole Sullivan?"
you finally recognize someone.
How is Nicole Sullivan in this? And then I finally like. Looked up the year it came out, 2009. What the fuck? And I was so blown away because it looks fucking legit. It looks
besides Spawn, one of the first things I saw Michael Jai White in was the second Toxic Avenger.
Oh, he was in that?
Really? Yeah. Yeah, he's in the beginning scene after they blow up the senior citizen home for the blind. Mm-hmm. And the corporation shows up in the limousine and all these henchmen come running out like a clown car. And so Michael Jai White pops up with nunchucks and he fights a Toxic Avenger. And while they're fighting, his wristwatch goes off and he goes, "Oh, that means I got ballet lessons. I got to get out of here." Yeah, he says something like, Like, he's the only henchman that doesn't get killed, because once it beeps, it's just like, he's just like, oh, lucky for you, I got ballet lessons. And then he runs off.
That was funny. Alright, so usually we go into the prompt section, which, Ryan, I know that you gotta bounce out of here kind of soon, so.
Wait, before we do that, can I just, and I'll try to be quick. Have y'all seen in about 2 weeks a spiritual successor to this movie is about to be released called Outlaw Johnny Black?
That is exactly what I was about to bring up.
Him and okay, Ian and I have been waiting for this movie for a while.
We've been waiting for like, I don't know, like 3-4 years now.
Oh yeah, yeah. They had early screenings of it like 2 years ago. That's why it's kind of.
No, it didn't get made until just now.
No. Like, go back. There's. Okay, all right. I'm pretty sure I saw that there were early screenings of it. Like.
No, it never got made until just now. Here's what happened.
You tell.
They made a trailer for it before anything. Before they did anything, they made a trailer. And that movie came out, or that trailer came out in like 2019, I think. 2018, 2019. And then they were asking for money to fund it. It was crowdfunded. And they never made the money, so it never happened. That there was like a contest where you could like be in the movie. And like a guy won the contest. I don't think that they filmed it. But they just now finally filmed it, and it's just now coming out. They're like, there was no early screening; it was never filmed. Like, it was a dead project.
Okay, the reason I thought there was an early screening, there's an interview. Michael J. White has done multiple interviews with DJ Vlad. I think this one was from 2020, and it was talking about the reactions that audience had for early screenings of it. He actually mentioned it, so I don't maybe.
Well,
maybe he was,
it must have been the trailer.
Because
I filmed the trailer first before anything.
Well, he went into great detail about it.
It's like Machete.
I don't know. My research says different. But,
well, anyway, the movie will come out in a couple of weeks. I definitely want to see it. Ryan, you want to go see it?
I do want to go see this movie.
Alright, I'll figure out when it comes out and I'll hit you up. Ian, are you going to go see it?
In theaters? Toss up. I'm definitely going to watch it eventually, but I don't know.
If you watch it in theaters, we can cover it on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see, man. You know, I know a guy down the street, he sells DVDs for $5. I could probably get one from him.
Okay. Ryan's got to jet out in a little bit. So unless y'all got anything, we could probably skip the prompt section for this movie. If anybody has anything. Good.
All right.
So let's go ahead and rate this thing, and we'll start with Ryan on this.
Well, I would think this would be pretty easy. For production, it's an excellent production of. It's purposely gritty and it looks bad, and they do a really really good job, especially with the boom mic and the cutaways and the ADR. So. I'm going to give it a pretty high 9. 9 people who actually... I'm sorry. I totally fucked that up.
Yeah.
I was going to say it was like 9 people who say what they don't appear to be.
Okay. Oh, that's a reference to the TV show.
What? Or no, I thought it was a reference to the brother, to his brother. who died early in the movie.
It was a reference to that.
To the brother?
Yeah. Okay. The brother, and also, I don't think the brother even...
You just made a direct quote to the TV show. We didn't talk about the TV show. So let's do that real quick. On Adult Swim, there's a Black Dynamite TV show that's produced by the guy who produced Boondocks.
And it's an excellent TV series.
So excellent. Ryan, I you came over to my house and I showed you a bunch of episodes. We pretty much watched the entire thing like one night.
We watched the first season. You showed me the entire first season and the entire night. And then we started going into the second season.
Yeah, that was great. Ian, you gotta watch the TV show. It's on Max if you have Max.
Yeah, I watched right before we started, I watched the first couple episodes.
You saw the Michael Jackson one?
Yeah. And as a fan of the Boondocks, I saw I saw the same fingerprints all over like animation. It was like a Black Dynamite anime almost, you know what I mean? With a searing edginess of the cultural
one. That's the best one by far. But they're all really good. All right. Anyway, Ryan, continue with your rating. Go on to story.
The story is it pretty much takes like both Ian's have already said, it's a love letter to all the blaxploitation, like all the little nods and the quips that they do, and they do a really good job just putting it all together. So I'm gonna pretty much give this, I'm gonna go ahead and give the story a 9.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it 9 kung fu bitches.
Nice.
And for enjoyment, even for the 4th time seeing this movie, this is a must-see excellent movie. Must see it. I enjoy it every time I watch this movie. Every time I watch it, I miss something, and it's fucking hilarious. So overall, for enjoyment, I give this movie 10. Pen little Chinese head all the way down to his Chinese knees.
Nice. And then, if you could watch this movie in a double feature with another similar movie, what other movie would you watch?
I think I would wait for the outlawed Johnny Black.
Good answer. That's a good one. Yeah. In which order?
I would probably watch the outlawed Johnny Black first, because I would think of it as like a spiritual prequel.
Yeah, it takes place before. Okay, cool. I'll go next for production. Yeah, like they really kicked ass with that. Like they made it look like an actual, like it was actually made in the 70s. Costume design was amazing, but you know, like everything about it was great. So I'm gonna make that also 9. 9. Woo! From that you get from the Anaconda malt liquor. Woo! Story. I agree with everything that Ryan said, but I kind of disagree. Like the story was like the weakest part, because like they put so much effort into everything else. So the story isn't really much. It's just, he's cleaning up the streets and then he's climbing the ladder trying to like fight Whitey. So there's not really much there. So I'll give it 4 sausages cut down the middle twice. Cut down the middle 4 times. 4 sausages cut down the middle 4 times. Enjoyment is straight 10, dude. I've seen this movie like so many times. I've shown it to so many friends. Like, it's probably my favorite comedy of all time. Like, I just absolutely love this movie. So I give it 10 dads named Black Dynamite.
I can dig it.
and what's your double feature?
Thank you for asking. Double feature is actually going to be. Fuck, I had it in the. Oh yeah, it's a movie that came out in the early 90s called Original Gangsta, or Original Gangstas. It stars Pam Grier, and it stars Jim Brown, and it stars what's the other guy who's in all the blaxploitation movies with the mustache? He was in Dust Till Dawn.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. What's his name? Fred.
Yeah, Fred Williamson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fred Williamson. So it's the three of them, and also Richard Roundtree is in it, the guy who played Shaft, and the guy from Superfly is also in it, and also Jim Kelly is in it as well.
Wow, they have everybody.
Yeah, it came out in the early 90s. Jim Kelly might not be in it, but. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, everybody's in it. And they're all old, because it's the 90s, so they're all, like, at least, like, 50. And so they're like, their time has passed, and now the new gangsters are in the city. And so it's got, like, all these, like, young guys are, like, taking over, kind of like in the 90s, like, gangster rap took over, and in fact gangster rapper Drew Down is one of them. He's in this movie. He's Bootsy Collins' son. He's a gangster rapper named Drew Down. He's a really badass rapper, and like, so basically, like, the gangs, like, are like taking over the city, and so, like, the original gangsters, the blaxploitation people, are like, it's basically like a metaphor for like how the 90s hood movies, like Boys in the Hood, A Menace to Society, and Juice, and all of them, took over the blaxploitation movies. So it's like kind of a metaphor to that. So it's like, yeah. So it's Pam Grier and Richard Roundtree and Jim Brown, like Fred Williamson, taking it back over, and it's pretty good.
Oh yeah, dude. Good choice. I know our homie Ryan's got to go real soon, so I'm gonna be quick with it. As far as production goes, I'm gonna give that 8.2 jump and spin kicks out of 10. Like all y'all said, it's a great reproduction of the style that they did then. A lot of care taken into it, but they did not have the budget to do it ridiculously.
No, they had a budget.
I'm just explaining why mine's a little lower than y'all's. I know they had a decent budget, but you could throw crazy money at it today, and it would be they could put even more of those little inconsistencies in there. Now for story, I got to agree with Ian. It was the weakest part of this movie, and that might be leaning more on the fact that it's drawing upon. More contrived and easily predictable stories from the blaxploitation era. But regardless, I'm gonna give that 6.4 shrugging penises out of 10. And then as far as enjoyment goes, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm gonna give it 9.6 illegitimate children out of 10. And for my double feature, I think the two best movies for Michael Jai White are probably gonna be this and Spawn. So I wanna watch this with Spawn. In that order.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, earlier you mentioned Blood and Bone. That's another good one.
Oh yeah. He's got a great, like, great movies that you can just kind of throw on. They're just action. Like, not trying to think.
Ryan and I covered Blood and Bone on the old podcast. Because that's definitely another So Bad Is Good movie.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
Hell yeah, dude.
Because, like, the fight scenes are awesome, but the entire story and everything that's not a fight scene is complete ludicrous.
Take it, the movie's not that great, but Michael Jai White was pretty great in it. Is the is the movie with Steven Seagal, Exit Wounds?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like him and, was it him and DMX, I believe?
DMX has Cradle to the Grave, which is fucking hilarious. And so problematic today. Alright, well, that'll do it for this episode of Movie So Bad The Good, Men Are Cool Classics in Camp. Thanks, guys, for joining me on this one. This is a special one, man. Like, I fucking love this movie so much. And it's a spoof to, like, the movies that this podcast is all about. So, it was a great time. Yeah, I'm glad you finally got to see this movie. We've been talking about it for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for get me to watch.
So onward to the Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah, I guess Ryan and I will be seeing that movie soon. Yeah, we've been waiting a long fucking time. I remember we were like, when we used to work together in that warehouse, I came up to you, I was like, dude, watch this trailer. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Okay. I was sold.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, we will go ahead and end this here. And thanks everybody for listening. And see you next time.
Peace.